Okay, so let's unpack this. We've got a stack of material here, all focused on a pretty specific but really, really impactful topic.
Yeah, fighting fraud in the California workers' compensation system. It's quite the playbook we're looking at.
Exactly, a playbook for the defense. And our mission really is to cut through it, pull out the key stuff, maybe some surprising facts.
And basically give you a shortcut to understanding how they tackle these, well, billions of dollars lost every year.
Billions, yeah. The sources really stress that number. It's about spotting the deception, building a defense, strictly using what's in this material.
And the problem's huge. These sources show it comes in different flavors, right?
Right. Applicants may be exaggerating or even faking injuries.
Or you get providers billing for things they didn't actually do. Employers sometimes misclassifying workers, too.
And one they really highlight, these claims that just sort of pop up right after someone leaves a job, post-termination claims.
Yeah, that's a common one. And what's interesting there, the legal framework actually anticipates that.
You mean Labor Code 3608?
Yeah, exactly. It basically sets up a legal presumption against that kind of claim.
So the default is it's not legitimate, unless.
Unless specific exceptions are met. Like maybe the employer already knew about the injury before the person left. Stuff like that. It's a built-in hurdle for those claims.
Okay, so that's one tool, but how do they actually spot potential fraud? That's where the playbook really digs in, right? Red flags.
Definitely. The sources list quite a few. Things like waiting a long time to report an injury.
No witnesses, maybe.
Yeah, no witnesses. Or the story just keeps changing, you know?
Yeah.
Inconsistencies in what the claimant says happened.
Or maybe the medical reports don't quite match what you actually see the person doing.
Precisely. Now, these aren't proof on their own. The sources are clear on that.
Just indicators, things that make you say, let's look closer.
Exactly. They warrant sort of a deeper investigation based on this playbook.
So if a flag goes up, what tools does the playbook say defenders use?
Well, background checks are pretty fundamental, using databases like edecs and EMs.
Those are the state systems that track prior claims.
Right. Helps you spot any patterns or maybe undisclosed history. See the bigger picture.
Makes sense. What else?
Recorded statements are key, getting the claimant's story directly. But there's a big legal point
The
here.
consent thing.
Yeah, Penal Code 6 and 632. You need two-party consent for audio recording. Can't just secretly tape a conversation.
Got it. Okay, what about like social media?
That's in the toolkit, too. But it's not about digging into private lives. It's about finding publicly available posts.
Stuff that might contradict what they're claiming about their limitations.
Exactly. But again, legally compliant. Public profiles only. Respecting privacy rules like Civil Code 1708.8. Using what's out there openly.
Okay. And surveillance, that always comes up.
It does. And the sources are very specific. It needs articulable suspicion.
Meaning you need a concrete reason based on other evidence to suspect fraud first.
All right. And it has to be in public places only. No sneaking around private property. It's about objectively documenting activity levels, not harassment. Comparing observed function to claimed limitations.
So, across all these tools, databases, statements, social media checks, surveillance, what's the common thread?
Documentation. Meticulous documentation. The sources hammer this home.
From the very beginning, right? That initial AO-ECOE investigation.
Absolutely. Arising out of employment, course of employment.
Yeah.
Is it even work-related? Documenting that. Medical reports, statements, findings, everything.
That precision is the backbone of the defense case file.
Could build it without it.
So, pulling this all together, what does this mean for you listening, if you're in claims or manage people, or even if you're just interested?
Understanding these tactics is pretty valuable. It really highlights how crucial clear communication is right from the start.
And thorough initial investigations like that AO-ECOE, plus just applying critical thinking when you see a claim, especially if there are red flags.
Yeah, it's this ongoing effort to find the facts, supported by the law, and, well, detailed investigation.
But here's something interesting connecting it to the bigger picture. The sources point out something striking.
The prosecution rate.
Yeah. Despite all these tools, the statutes, the investigations, a really small percentage of cases flagged for fraud actually end up getting prosecuted successfully.
It does make you wonder why, doesn't it? Is it just that proving intent beyond a reasonable doubt is incredibly hard?
Or maybe resource limits. Not enough DAs or investigators focused on this.
Could be a mix of things. It's a complex gap between suspicion and conviction.
And looking even further ahead, the sources mentioned potential future threats, like AI.
Deepfakes, yeah. The idea that someone could use AI to create fake evidence, maybe video or audio, to support a fraudulent claim.
That's kind of scary. How do defense strategies even begin to adapt to something like that?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It suggests this whole field has to keep evolving, constantly adapting to new ways people might try to cheat the system.
Definitely leaves you with something to think about. Always more to learn in this space.